Welcome to the Graveyard Girls podcast with Amelia and Natasha. Hello.
Hello, and welcome to a brand new episode.
Yeah.
Before we get into it, is this something I have to
say? No, we're not. Okay. We're sitting. Okay, we'll say a little bit in this episode and we'll go further into the next one.
Okay, yeah, I'm tired. There'll be
some changes going on with the episodes in the next few months. You'll see.
It sounds like we're going for the menopause. Sorry, I'm
or puberty. There's going to be some changes. You're going to notice some things, but change is good.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
We want to improve
ourselves.
Yeah.
And the content podcast that we put out.
However,
we don't want to stop the podcast.
Yes. And also, you know, we don't have an infinite amount of time. That has become apparent more as in terms of like how ill we've been the last few months and then trying to juggle everything. We get ahead, but then we're ill and then
we're not
it
ahead.
Cancels it out. Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know if it's a brilliant idea or not. We have a Patreon and we've spoken to our Patreons about what we're going to do. We're going to release once exclusive Patreon content for the next few months while we work on ourselves and the podcast.
Yeah.
Because all you little buggers didn't go over there and pay for some episodes.
Yeah, subscribe. So we have a whole wealth of content.
Yeah.
One, we feel like it's not getting the views it deserves.
Yeah.
But also, I know like the climate's difficult with people with, like, struggling with money and the whole cost of living crisis thing.
But we also want to thank the listeners who do come back every week with like a little perk, I guess.
Yeah. And also, while we work on these new ideas and the new things, we still needed to be putting out what we already had. We needed the content to go out. So like I said, we discussed with Patreons. Those are already on Patreon. They already won, by the time this is released, they will already know about it.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, our oldest Patreon episodes, we're now going to start filtering those in as free streaming. So you guys can get a taste of like the sort of thing that's on Patreon and what the paid content was like. But hopefully it also entices new people into the podcast at the same time without leaving you current listeners behind with nothing new.
Yes, because we don't want to do that, because we do appreciate you coming back every week listening. So we just wanted to like
sacrifice you for new people.
Yeah.
So we want to keep you. So hold you. It's not held you hostage. Is it hold you hostage? I don't know.
I wasn't planning on it, but we could do. So you stick around until we come back.
Yeah.
We're going to be releasing content. We're kind of going to do it so it comes out in like a true crime episode here, a mysteries there. Yeah. We do have some folklore on there and some...
A lot of history.
Yeah,
stuff.
But dark history and twisted. Yeah. So we're going to filter it out so it works best for you in the like true crime and then a mystery.
Yeah,
and then
we didn't want to scrap true crime altogether because that's kind of what the Graveyard Girls has become known for in terms of all the free stuff. But also we really like our other content.
Yes.
So we're going to mix and match it all a little bit.
And
keep
we are
a bit
going
of everything.
Yes, we have some witch trials stuff on there that have noticed that the witch trials is like picked up again.
Yeah, everyone's going back, which is annoying because they're listening to it now rather than when we released it.
So we will be releasing some of those as well.
Yeah.
We're just going to figure out how we're going to do it. We are also releasing episodes on YouTube now.
Yes.
These are the older ones. So it's not like new episodes. It's just if you want to go back and listen.
Yeah.
I've not figured out how to do the artwork on there. So you are just staring at a very blurry photo.
Yeah. At the moment.
Yeah.
But then going forward, when we start re-recording like the new content, it will be a video-based one for the stuff for YouTube.
Once we can figure out how to do that.
Yes.
Which is why we're taking a break to learn all that.
Yeah, because there was no way we could keep producing all the new content and learn all that stuff and do everything else, including work and then normal lifestyle stuff. We were just getting way too behind with everything.
Yeah.
But we also wanted new and fun stuff to keep people entertained, but also grab new people in, and it's a lot.
Because we do have the ideas, it's just we don't have...
Executing it is another issue. Because I remember like when we first started, that graveyard. First time we were like, we're going to do this, and this. And half of the things we still haven't done. Or some of them we've started it, but then we've not followed like on with it. And it's just a case of we don't have the time to cram it all in. And
necessarily the mental capacity.
Yeah.
Cause there's
all the means.
All the means.
Which is a big
thing
in this, which is kind of why we started the Patreon, to hopefully help us with that. So I don't know, aid us with the equipment we needed to make everything easier. But obviously that hasn't quite worked out how we originally planned. So we're just trying to find other ways around it without stopping the podcast, because that's the last thing we want to do. I don't want it to get to the point that it's not become viable for us anymore.
Yeah.
So we're trying to be clever.
We are trying to be clever. Whether it's going to shoot us ourselves in the foot or not, we don't know.
So if it's not working,
you can send us an email.
If you don't like what the Patreon is, if you're really like not happy with how that's blended with the true crime and you want us to still continue with the true crime, then yeah, obviously we'll add a bit in. Because the last thing, we'd rather you say like, we don't like this or we don't think that this works, rather than no one saying anything, we just randomly lose listeners.
Yeah.
And we wake up one morning and we have no views. So
we want to fix something if we can, rather than just murdering you.
Killing you off.
Yeah, that's it.
Or making you run away. We don't want to make you run away.
No, we like having you around.
Yeah, but yeah, so like I said, I think the Patreon content's good. Like, we've had good feedback from the people that have followed us on Patreon. So hopefully the content is enough not only to entertain you a lot until we make new content, but also hopefully it brings new people over who wouldn't have otherwise followed us.
And if you really wanted to listen to some episodes but you just couldn't afford it, it's now going to be available.
So a little snippet, and then I don't know, we'll update the whole Patreon situation in so many months time when we figure it out. Once we've got a head around what we're doing, then we can throw out another update to those guys.
We're not going to disappear.
We're just shaking things up a little bit and trying to figure out what works best. But yeah, I guess we should probably get into the episode.
Well, I have a killer nun for us today.
A killer nun?
Yeah.
Okay.
So this was on my list and I was just like,
naughty nun.
It's a very naughty nun. Who also went by the name of Mother Rasputin.
She related to?
No, she's kind of bad like that.
Okay.
Her name is Mariam Zolakoitis. She's Greek.
Okay.
I may have mispronounced that. I didn't look it up. I'm sorry.
It's very naughty of you, Sasha.
It looks like it's easy to say, but then Greek names are like Hoppatopalopalopolis.
Yeah.
And there's too many vowels.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really long. Why are they so long?
I don't know.
Okay.
I think Jason is a Greek name. It's just like Jason.
Is it?
Jason and the Argonauts?
Oh, yeah, okay. I didn't think about that.
Okay, Mariam.
Okay, what's this naughty nun been up to?
She was born in 1883 in a town about 30 miles from Athens in Greece.
Okay.
Which makes her Greek. Her parents are unknown, and little is known of her life before she became an Orthodox nun, except for that she was a factory worker and that she was born with the given name Marina.
Okay.
So I'm going to quote.
So she could have been an orphan or adopted or just. So,
probably. Not necessarily, probably a poor family. I think she worked on a farm.
Okay.
I don't know if that was her family or she just worked.
Or it could be like an immigrant family and then that's why they didn't have records.
Maybe.
Either that or just records have been lost. I don't know.
Lots
of possibilities.
Yes. So I'm going to quote from the Greek City Times in this episode. So they were a good help researching because otherwise it's just Wikipedia. So when Mariam was 23 years old, she was first introduced to a self-styled monk by the name of Father Matthew Caparthicus.
This is going to be a really stupid question. Are the nuns and the monks allowed to mix? Because you always think of them being separate.
In a monastery.
Oh, yeah, I suppose in the Holy Sect. I feel like in my head it's like a day trip for them. Like, they only meet up so many times. It's like a girls' school and a boys' school. They only see each other at like certain times of the year.
Well, that might be.
I was going to say, so they don't get up to naughty things, but from history, especially the monks, we know those monks are naughty, and I feel like nuns are just as naughty.
I think I could be wrong because I'm not a religious person, but maybe it varies.
Okay.
Maybe in some.
Because I just feel like they were always like sent off to an island or something.
Yeah.
Or is that just like British ones?
I don't know.
Because you remember like the monks, they always used to be on like either near the coast or on like a little island bit.
I think that just makes it spooky.
Oh, okay.
It's like, ooh.
Is it not historically accurate?
Maybe not, I don't know.
Okay.
So up until this point, Mariam had been working on farms and in factories, and although she is believed to have come from an impoverished Greek family, her origins are obscure. Okay. So, like I said, she could be an immigrant from somewhere else, but it's most likely she's Greek.
Okay.
The monk and Mariam, met at a crucial time in the monk's life when he was struggling with his own doubts about the doctrines and tenets of the Greek old Calendarist Church. The Orthodox denomination which he belonged to, denouncing the teachings of the old Calendarist, the holy man formed a new sect called the New Calendarist.
Okay. But also you might see her thought she was a bit hot and then just question the fact that you can't, he's not supposed to be having sex anymore.
She is 23 years old.
And how old is he?
Old.
Yeah, that doesn't mean anything.
He's like at least 40.
I feel like, you know, like he's questioning his faith. He's like, oh no, I've been blended with some pretty nuns and now all of a sudden I don't know if I do want to, is it God or Jesus? I get very confused.
I think it depends.
Okay.
Because sometimes they are the same, aren't they?
Yeah.
The where it's like the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
I don't know. I'm not religious.
We do a podcast. We're not very up to date with religion, so yeah, if we offend you, it is confusing. And if we offend you, we are sorry.
All I've got in my head is like the medieval, the Protestants, and the Catholics, and
even that confuses us.
Yeah, that, I mean, that is very complicated in the first place. I think it confused everyone at the time. But which is then when you then take it out of that context, I'm like, which one's which? And I get a bit confused.
Especially when it comes to Orthodox.
Because I feel like they have to keep the nuns and the monks separate. Otherwise, they'll just always be having sex, won't they?
Well, maybe this is his issue. That's why he creates his own version. So he can have...
sex with a naughty nun.
That is not what happens, apparently.
Yeah,
He might have hoped, because he began to build his own convent and monastery to provide a place of worship for his followers.
Okay.
Enamored with Frank and his alternative ideology, Mariam left her family to help work in the convent.
Yeah.
So maybe it is a bit...
I think he fancies her.
Maybe she likes him as well, but they're not allowed.
Yeah, because it's bad. So then they're just finding a clever way around it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what's happened. I don't think it's actually anything really to do with the religion. I think they just fancied each other and he's not really supposed to be into it. So he's thinking of a clever way to get around it.
Mm.
And then she gets other ideas.
So it's reported in part due to Father Matthew's declining health, but also her strong character, she quickly gains more responsibility in the convent monastery thing. She raised to the position of abbess, abbess? She's a female abbot.
Okay.
Abbess? It's written as abbess. I don't know how that's pronounced. So she's the abbess of the new church, and she was in charge of daily management and recruiting new members of the convent.
Okay. Does that also mean she can boss everyone else about?
Yeah.
Okay.
Matthew's health is said to have begun declining during World War II, leaving him even less able to effectively supervise Mariam. Mm-hmm. And making him...
How did you need to supervise her?
Well...
What's he going to do? Escort her to the prayer room?
Well, if, like, he's bedbound and she's just doing whatever in the convent,
she's
not...
She's on a pie.
Yeah. He's not going to be aware of that, is he?
Okay.
Unless he's, like, high. He's not going to... He probably has a certain, like, this is what you should do.
She's an adult. Like, what does she need supervising with?
Well, one, he's a man. Surely he should be running the whole thing. It's his religion as well.
Mm, yeah.
Mm. And this obviously made him more dependent on her. When Matthew's health started to seriously fail in 1950, her already considerable influence over him grew. By this time, she had earned a reputation for being rigorous and even ruthless at times.
I feel like she really marred it.
Oh, yeah. As he was on his deathbed, he wanted to talk to someone, but she stormed in with a number of other nuns and demanded that this person leaves.
Oh.
It was like he wasn't allowed to speak to anyone. And a few days later, he died.
Mysteriously died.
Maybe he was 70-something.
Yes, but would he have lasted longer?
Mm.
I think she's secretly poisoning him, making him ill.
Possibly because After the death of Matthew, Mariam succeeded as abbot in the monastery. This was what confused me, because she was technically already an abbess, but now she's like the head of it.
Maybe that's like deputy.
Maybe deputy abbot. So her alleged modus operandi was to encourage wealthy women to join the convent.
Mm. Oh.
And then torture...
Out of all of the women, not just any women.
And then to torture them until they donated their fortunes to the monastery. Once the money was donated, she would embezzle it and in some cases kill the donor.
Oh.
Beginning in 1940, after establishing control over the other nuns in the convent, she was said to have even sent the monastery's monks around Greece in search of wealthy spinsters, widows, and families to convert. It was reported at the time of her arrest, she had amassed 300 homes and farms across Greece, along with gold and jewels worth £72,000 in today's money.
What's she doing with all them houses? She having a bloody holiday?
I have no idea. Because...
surely you just want the money.
Mm-hmm. But I think you could then sell the property and then you've got the money.
Yeah, but can you imagine every time, like, you're like a letting or a sales agent, I don't know what the equivalent was then, but, like, you're just like, oh, the nun's back with another house. How did you get that house? Oh, we just...
oh, like, they're so wealthy. They are well, not wealthy. They're so generous that they just handed it over to me. This is what trips them up in the end. Because someone was like, my mum wouldn't just hand over stuff to you.
Yeah.
One of her accusers is Eugenia? I can say it in my head, it's not coming out. Eugene. The female version of Eugene.
Okay.
Eugenia Marchetti said that she was held in isolation cell and tortured until she surrendered her property worth £800,000 in today's money. Mariam first came to the attention of police when an anonymous complaint was made by the daughter of a wealthy woman who had willed all her property to the monastery. She insisted that her mum wouldn't have done this without being forced and accused the monastery administration of blackmail and threats. So it's slowly becoming to unravel. So her tactic is, along with the vows that they're to rid themselves of evil and to show commitment in their belief to this new church, it was compulsory for the applicants to confess all their sins and undertake fast periods of silence. And this is similar to a lot of religions, but she used this and twisted it to the extreme.
Oh, so yeah, like, yeah, then if they confess all of their sins, she could listen to them and then blackmail them.
Yeah.
I mean, kind of clever.
I mean, this does happen in religion. You go to confession. You basically put it out there for the priest to hold on to. Yeah. In theory, he's not supposed to use it as blackmail. He's not supposed to know who confesses. But she's using this form of what you're supposed to do in religion, and she's twisting it.
Mm.
Is that?
I wonder what she was doing with all the money, though, because, like... yeah. It's not like she could get like a new car or like
it's supposed
new clothes because they're supposed to look a certain way. So like it's going to be quite obvious.
It also, when the father dies, she becomes more. So what nuns wear, we know what they wear. They've got the she becomes so. There's a slightly different version of it that it comes, rather than being like up here on her head, it comes down over her eyebrows.
Right.
So that's like she's more devout to the religion because she's not even like showing anything. She's just literally got a little bit of a face out.
Yeah.
So she's supposed to be more devout to her religion.
Right, okay.
But I don't think they want the money for the people in the monastery. I don't think they're doing it for like fast cars or whatever. Yeah. They're using the money for the people in the thing.
I'm a bit stressed. Is the movie called Madeline where it's all the nuns on bicycles?
Oh yeah, they need the funding for all their bikes. Yeah. Yes,
that's just what I have in my head. It's really distracting.
She would only go after wealthy people, so it's not like she wants more congregation. She wants what they have, and yes, maybe it's to fund the monastery, but she didn't need to do it this way.
Yeah, I just don't see what she got out of it other than killing people.
Many people who joined the convent did not join the convent as religious followers, but because they were seeking medical attention. Mariam had offered free tuberculosis treatment to all, citing the high altitude of the convent as an ideal location for recuperation. If they were truly treating tuberculosis, however, they would have been doctors on site to check on patients. It is stated that only doctors permitted on site were there to sign death certificates. This treatment plan was just another ruse she would employ to defraud more people.
Yeah, that would make sense.
It wasn't until 1949 that rumours about what was happening on the inside of the sacred wall started to spread.
I think she has a fetish for dead people.
Maybe. Even though residents claimed to have heard screams, it wasn't until 1950...
It could just be a nun wailing.
Oh, I wrote I wrote it wrong. Yeah, it wasn't until 1950, until she's been in charge for a decade at this point, that the authorities were informed of any possible wrongdoings. So finally, on the 4th of December 1950, the police arrested Mariam on a large-scale raid.
Right.
85 police officers spent 2 days scouring the grounds, rescuing 46 children.
What? Where did she get the children from?
Maybe the tuberculosis. Well, usually a nunnery or a monastery is kind of like, So rescuing the 46 children, along with a number of naked and malnourished elderly women who had been detained in the basement.
What?
They found the remains of over 170 bodies. Yeah. When her trial began on September 4th, 1951, Mariam did not face any charges related to the abuse or deaths of the followers. She was also found to be in possession of £750,000 in cash, held the deeds to over 300 farms and houses, but this would not prosecute her.
What?
Prosecutors believed that they could not secure a conviction related to these crimes.
Why not?
The only sure conviction that they could achieve was on the two accounts of illegal business activities that she had undertaken. She received a 26-month prison for illegally importing tyres and exporting olive oil to Cyprus.
She's having fast cars.
So
I'm running it on olive oil.
So I saw, yeah, especially like, why has she got like an illegal business when she's got all this money?
Yeah.
So I thought this as, you know how Al Capone was held on tax evasion.
Yeah.
That's the only way that they could get him. This is the same thing.
Okay.
However.
What, was all those dead bodies not enough evidence?
However, our story doesn't end yet.
Okay.
Although she wasn't found guilty of murders or torture, the press and public labelled her Mother Rasputin.
Okay.
And so now it's starting to get out.
Yeah. No one's going to want her anymore.
Yeah. Along with this, well, she's in jail right now.
Yeah, no, but when she gets out, it's only 26 months.
Along with the considerable media attention, more people came forward with accusations and evidence. Prosecutors with this new information charged her with a number of new crimes. She was accused of the murders of one monk and three nuns, as well as counts of embezzlement, forging wills, extortion, abuse, torture, and neglect homicide as a result of all these witnesses coming forward.
So they did get up.
After her second trial in February 1953, she received a 10-year prison sentence to be served concurrently with her first sentence. So follow on from each other.
A bit,
Bizarrely, there was a third trial.
Okay. How did she only get 10 years in the first place? Why was she not hung? They were still hanging people at this point, weren't they?
I think so. So even more people came forward. So she had another trial, and she was found guilty of illegal detention, and she got another 4-year prison sentence.
Which seems massive in comparison to the other two.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, maybe it's a change in law during that period of time.
Maybe. Okay, so they couldn't get her on the deaths of 177 people.
Right.
Because they died from a lethal lung infection, and these were a result of a neglect homicide.
Right.
But a further 27 are believed to have been murdered.
Oh.
So, and then she passed away in 1954 at the age of 71 while in prison. And all the time she was in prison, she maintained her innocence, calling the accusations against her satanic fictions.
Oh.
She...
But who are you going to believe? The naughty nun?
Well, yeah. If she killed... She ended up killing a monk and... Was it two or three nuns?
Which probably, who could have probably given her away.
I do have a picture for you.
I don't get how she didn't even get that big of... I know she was old. Oh, it's maybe like, that was she didn't get a very big sentence because of her age.
Maybe, but I think maybe they can't nail it to her. Like you said, they could get her for the illegal businesses, which I don't understand why she has, if she's got all this money.
Yeah, like what is she doing with tyres and olive oil?
I know.
It's like people that used to have, is it red diesel or whatever it's called? Like that's supposed to be like illegal, but people were still using it. I might make that up.
I've never heard of it. That's what she looks like.
She looks terrifying.
Yes. So I will send you that so you can use for the Instagram post.
But yeah, I don't get it. Also, what are they doing with the... Was there an olive oil shortage or something? So it's like become black market? Or is she using the olive oil as a sort of fuel? And then the tyres, like, she's like actually making cars, but she's just doing it.
There is some history between Cyprus and Greece. This might be time where it's a bit... There's a conflict. Okay. So maybe you're not allowed to trade with Cyprus. I don't know. I could have looked into that. I didn't.
Okay. It's just a very bizarre thing for us to sort of...
Yeah, tyres and olive oil.
Like, when they want tyres, so I'll go to a nun.
I know. I just imagine her as like a proper mobster nun.
Yeah. But I also feel like she could have had like a gun in her gown or something. And then...
Well, you never know.
Or like a machete or something. And then
probably. I could be wrong. But I think she might be kind of an inspiration for, like, you know, the Covenant. No, the nun movies.
Yeah.
The horror movies that are out.
Maybe.
Does she first appear in, like, Annabelle and the Conjuring?
Yeah, and that would be in the following decades, wouldn't it?
Yeah, so I think that's... Yeah. I thought a killer nun.
Yeah. It's always them, though. It's either a priest... Or a monk, or a nun.
It's so weird that they think they're doing good, but
that's
like...
how they're justifying. That's how they get away with it for so long.
It's not.
No, I know it's not, but that's how they get away with it. It's like, oh, they're a holy person, they wouldn't do it. And like, I think they're the worst. they're the ones that have the really, like, even like the mass murders. Mm. Like, you got like the Jonestown thing.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I know it's a cult, but also like they based it off of religion.
Yeah.
They're like a mass genocide. It's always the really religious ones.
But it's like, how are you going to ascend if you don't ascend?
Not that an average murderer is like, all right, because I've only killed one, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. There's a bit of a liberty of being like, oh, I'm doing this because my religion tells me. It's like, it's not. You've just interpreted it that way. Yeah, I think some people in religious things, whether they go in with that intention to twist it, to bend to their will, so then they can like get away with whatever they're doing. I don't know, but it's their interpretation of their religion.
I just feel like I'm really suspicious of them all the time. I feel like I'm more suspicious of them than I am like the average person. Like, if I was approached by a nun or a monk, I'd be more suspicious of them than I would just some random stranger. Which seems weird to people, but I would be more suspicious.
Yeah, we did know a monk and we didn't like that one, so.
Yeah. And then there's the other lady that said she could cure my autism if I...
Yeah.
With the Bible.
Yeah, she gave you a weird book, didn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah.
To banish my demons.
Well, if anything, surely God made you that way.
Yeah.
So you don't need fixing.
But I do.
Mm.
The devil's got me, Natasha. Although I would be interested to see how the Bible was supposed to fix the autism.
Oh, it wasn't a thing back then. It's due to vaccinations. I am joking.
Yeah. No. I like the fact that she thinks the Bible could cure it. Like
the bite. You can't.
But how was it going to cure it? That's the bit I don't understand. Because if, like, medicine can't cure it, like, what is it in the Bible that was going to stop me from being autistic?
Wine.
How is it going to change my mind?
Wine.
Is it that powerful that it, like, just changes the genetics of my brain?
Also, turning water into wine, isn't that a bit witchcrafty?
Well, I say this because what's the difference between a miracle and a spell?
Yeah.
Because to me...
Or alchemy. You know, you never
that's
know.
That's what I'm saying, but like, they didn't like what the witches were doing with their potions and stuff. But like, you know, fucking Jesus could feed millions of people, what was it, off a fish or something. And then he could change all these things and he stopped people from dying. But like, would you
witch.
Not be more suspicious of that? Because like, why is he so powerful that, like, why is he not a witch?
Surely that's magic.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Why is he
not
a witch?
Miracle. Because
but
he's
they
man.
Call it a miracle and that's okay. Is it? You can do weird shit if it's a miracle.
I think it's also because he's a man.
Yeah, but they're still a wizard. Like, they still kill men in the witch trials.
You can have some male witches.
I don't get that. To me, a miracle and magic are the same thing.
We need stories. But the stories don't always make sense.
Okay.
As we know, there's always going to be plot holes. And if you don't fill up those plot holes, this is what... We get wars.
Okay. then we have more potholes.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just...
Yeah, I don't get it.
If you find comfort in religion, then okay.
Yeah, I have an issue with people following a religion. No. If that's what they want to do.
Don't use it.
I just, there's an alarming amount of criminality involved.
Yeah.
That is some.
Because that's not what religion is.
Yeah. And yeah, I feel like it does more harm than good a lot of the time.
It can do, yes.
I think it's because on a whole now, like, people can choose not to be religious. Yep. Not that it was any better hundreds of years ago, but like on a whole, everyone was religious.
Mm.
They followed a religion.
Mm.
So like you had to be believing. Whereas now, like you can choose just not to believe in a religion. Mm-hmm. Like, whereas hundreds of years ago, that wasn't an option.
Yeah.
So you had to like pick a side. What's that? There's a monster in the wall. But yeah, years ago you had to pick a side. You don't have to do that anymore. And I think that's where now, I don't know, religion's become a bit dangerous. It's like they've got a fight to stay around, but also like they're doing it in a dirty way.
Yeah. And religion shouldn't be dirty.
No, that's basically the exact opposite of what it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why it confuses me. And I don't really follow it, because...
Yeah, it does get confusing.
They just contradict themselves. Like, they're very hypocritical.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I'm just free doing my own thing. Not curing my autism with a Bible.
What if you get smacked in the head with it? Well, that's...
Well, no, because it's legit. I don't know how... Unless brain transplants become a new thing that they can do.
But then
then you could cure my autism, because...
Then you won't be you.
Yeah, I know, but that's what they want.
Ah, okay.
I think that's the problem. I'm not supposed to be me.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. So, they've either got to kill me, or, I don't know, brainwash me with the Bible, then, like, you're basically not a version of yourself anymore, are you? So they've technically cured you, haven't they?
Mm, yeah.
Because I'm not, like, doing things that I would be doing anymore. I'm doing the things that God is telling me to do, which are all good things.
But if you hear God...
To me, that's a mental illness, but, you know.
Yeah.
But, so, you're allowed to hear God. As long as you don't go around killing people. Because then they're like, oh... God has spoken to you. You are the chosen one.
Or, no, maybe even, like, don't admit God is talking to you, because then that's when you probably get locked up.
Yeah, if it is, I would lock someone up if they kept saying the God. But, like, to religious people, you're, like, the chosen one.
Or like, are you the...
chosen to speak to you.
Or are you the,
And then I can start...
The Antichrist?
I don't know.
If... A false...
Either way, I'm definitely false prophet. Going to hell. Yeah.
I may have been mixing... Oh, religions here.
There's so many different variants on things. It's very confusing to follow.
I know.
Which is basically why...
If you want to join our cult.
I think we should just set one up.
That's what we're going to be working on.
Yeah. Yeah, in these next few months, we're starting a cult.
Yeah. So stick around to find out.
Yeah. Come and join us.
There you go. That's how you get them.
We'll chase the nuns away.
Okay. Some people might be into that, so...
Yeah. There we go. On that note, I think we should probably shut before we get ourselves in any trouble. In the meantime,
keep creeping
and we'll keep digging.